5. Let's begin. Hello to all of our viewers, hello to those here in the studio, and hello Rav Lightman, hello everyone. Today, Parashat Tetzaveh. It is a portion consisting of many small details that speak about how the great Kohen should be dressed and how he has to enter the parochet and what bells to put on and many more details. And it starts with the words, and you shall command the people, and you shall bring, you command the people of Israel to bring the candle, and the candle, where will it be? Outside the tent, and where will it, and it will light from day to night, and so on. And then Moses tells Aaron and Nadav and Avihu and Eleazar, he tells them to prepare special clothes, and for this Moses has to speak with all the wise which he has fulfilled with the spirit of wisdom. So we know about the colors, and there are many details here of Lightman. From the multiplicity of details, we can get lost very hard. When I just heard our friend speak that he came to see the truth and the wisdom of Kabbalah because he received a correct, good, easy explanation, rational explanation to what it says in the Torah, that it doesn't explain about how to behave in our world, that we already passed that, why read it now? What can we get out of a portion that speaks only about how should the priests be clothed and how to enter the tent? We don't even know what it means in our world. It doesn't exist. The tent. So to relate it as some nice history or what? But when you start explaining these things internally, it's also non-simple. When I came to the wisdom of Kabbalah, it was hard for me to connect between things. If we're talking about something, if we're talking about a man, a person, how he opens his eyes, how he sees through matter into the forces or the powers, the only one single force that unites them, all of these forces, called the Creator, the upper force, none else besides Him. From this force extend many forces, and they form in our matter, which is the will to receive, like on a screen. They create a picture, they form a picture, and then we already have a pretty simple formation, meaning the upper force that divides into many particular forces that influence our desire, that divide our desire into 613 desires, because there are 613 lights that come when this force divides, and it builds 613 desires in us. And to begin with, these 613 desires, they're opposite inside us to the lights, 613 lights that come. It means that we're opposite to the Creator, and then in that oppositeness we feel ourselves existing in this world, where the picture formed in our world, in our current screen, in our current will to receive, it's like on a TV screen, us being inside that 3D screen, like in Matrix or something. I don't know what else to compare it to. So we see ourselves, and all that we see a depiction that's opposite to the Creator, and all of our work through the changes in our desire to make it such that our desire will be correctly inspired by the 613 lights. Meaning we have to make the 613 corrections in our 613 desires and make it so that the desire and the light will be as one. It means that we're approaching approximation, adhesion in that one force, the Creator. That's the goal. So the Torah, all in all, teaches us how should we change our 613 desires from reception, from ego, from being opposite to the light, to become like the light. And we really learn from the wisdom of Kabbalah, we learn about many actions. We don't immediately identify these desires. Who knows that there are 613 desires? What are they? Where are they? I know about a desire to eat, to drink, to rest, to, travel. We'll divide them somehow. The Kabbalists, they tell me that it's not about those desires at all, that these desires, they are my bodily desires. And the bodily desires stay as they are. I don't have to correct them. My body is uncorrectable, only my soul. Where is my soul? Where are the desires belonging to the soul? I'm told that the desires belonging to the soul are desires towards others. What does it mean, towards others? Who are the others? So the others, they say that it's the Creator. Well, towards the Creator, where will I find my desires towards Him? Who is He that I shall measure compared to Him, all that I have? I'm told, no, He won't open Himself up to you until you will somehow, at least to a certain extent, be like Him. It means that it's not that you are hidden from Him, but you hide yourself from Him through the oppositeness of your qualities, since you're opposite to Him in qualities, you're entirely the egoistic will to receive. He's bestowed in love. You're opposite to each other. If you want to see, feel Him, you can feel Him only according to the law called equivalence of form, meaning the more qualities, desires, thoughts that you have, like He has, to that extent you'll feel Him. And to the extent that you don't have with what to cleave on to Him, you won't feel Him. And the Kabbalists, they explain that that law also exists in our world, that if I in my world, in our world, want to feel something, understand something, you as if have to enter that person to feel his desires, his thoughts, and then understand them. That's how we work. And thus, we have only one ability, which is to come closer to the Creator, to the understanding of creation, to the source of life, to the understanding of reality altogether, if we change ourselves towards Him. In order to change ourselves towards Him, in a simple, healthy fashion, in a practical manner, with self-criticism, through scrutinization, thus instead of the Creator, I was given the so-called others, the fellow man, meaning someone outside me, that I relate to Him the very same way I do to the Creator. Either I want to use Him for my own benefit, or I want to erase Him, take Him down, lower Him, belittle Him compared to myself, and to control Him. That's what my ego always wants, to be higher than others. I'll rule. And I have to bring myself to a state where instead of me controlling the others, I love Him. I serve Him. I unite with Him. By that, I change my nature. And if that other is anywhere near, then I can, by connecting to Him, by being in reciprocal connection, to examine myself, to get some examples, scrutinizations, and thus advance correctly without making mistakes. So what the Creator made was this kind of an illusion, where there's man inside an environment called the others, group, humanity, and towards them, he has to work. But again, where are those desires which I have to correct? I'm told, if you aim yourself to the Creator, to come to Him, and for that you are going to relate to the environment in order to place yourself correctly towards the Creator, then these 613 desires will unfold in you, which all in all compose your soul. And by the correction of these Taryag desires, 613 desires, by the Taryag precepts, you correct your desires and achieve the great light of the Torah. And when, in the right kind of work between man and group, I'm saying group, not simply humanity or the fellow man, because towards them he has to examine his work, the extent to which he influences them, the extent to which they influence him, how much lower or higher than them he is, to which extent do they connect their desires and to reach unity, and by doing so become or similar to the Creator, meaning there has to be unification with the group here, with other people, like the Torah tells us to be as one man and one heart, connected in mutual guarantee, arvut. And when you start working, when they start working that way between them, they discover the extent to which they hate each other, first of all, and how then you have to correct all these desires, these egoistic desires of hate, of rejection, of dominion, of envy, lust, honor, and so on. Where specifically the revelation of these desires are the crane, the lever, the springboard by which you advance, as it says, that envy, lust, and honor take a person out of the world, take them out of our lower world into the upper, higher world, because there's no other way, other place to take us out into, because we're in the lowest, worst possible world. And when we start seeing these Taryag desires, Taryag is 613, we see that they're divided in a very special way. Their division, it's like a pertuf we study about, like a spiritual pertuf, a special system of rosh, toch, sof, their hands, legs, their body. In short, our body, our corporeal body, it consists or is built as a projection of the soul, of the spiritual forces that connect that way between them. Thus, in our corporeal body, there are also 613 tendons and corporeal ones, as against to those taryag components out of which consists the soul. And that's what the Torah speaks about. How do I form these taryag forces that I discover, which to begin with are all egoistic, are all bad, completely under the control of my ego, against myself, against others, and in favor of my ego at any cost? How do I correctly place them in work against the environment, against the other, where I start in this work, first of all with a slave, then a non-Jew, then a Jew, then a Levi, Israel, Cohen, and so on, until I reach the degree of the great Cohen and the degree of Aaron. And in that work, we have to sort these taryag desires of the soul that are divided into shorish neshama guf, that are inner desires of the taryag desires, and external desires called levush, clothing, and eichal, palace. So in shorish neshama and guf, I have to correct myself up to the degree of Aaron, possibly to send his four sons. That's how this term, that's how it's divided. And in the external kelim, the external desires of levush and eichal, I have to correct myself in the garments of priesthood with all these symbols and so on. And heichal, palace, or the tent of congregation, all those props, that are as if external, that the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about, which also are actually my desire. Those are desires of mine, which I simply have to put into in place the very same way it says in the Torah, which is the what you wear, and also externally, which is lamp and table and the tent itself and everything it says there. Meaning I have to bring that entire picture to the form the Torah tells about, and all those desires from the innermost desires, Shorosh Neshama Guf, and to the external ones, Levush HaNeichal, will all consist in one realm inside the soul, as the Torah tells us about it in this external story. And if I place it correctly, I finished the parasha, meaning I've kept this degree in my correction, and I continue to the next degree until I finish the whole Torah book, meaning that the Torah book, Torah, from the word Hora'ah, instruction, it turns into a book of a manual's guide. And by this I continue and perform my correction. This is the process we have to undergo. And of course this portion is, it's very hard to understand it simply, in its simple manner, in simple fashion, because in our desires, in our simple desires, in our reality, we can't find examples or for these five kinds of clothing, or the five echalot, or shorosh nechshama en guf. We don't have the precise definitions, one against the other inside us. Now, because we don't see that picture, it's not in our consciousness, but when a person starts working with his Tariag desire, with the group, he sees all of it realizing, and then this whole picture that the Torah is passing on to us becomes clear to him. But it's the entire Torah, where he came from Bereshit, Genesis, through Egypt, and came out, the reception of the Torah, and now enters that state, Ohel Moed, the tent of congregation with Aaron, and so on. This is in general. It's possible to talk about, of course, endlessly. And we learn about this. The Ari speaks about it beautifully in the Chara Kavanot. We learn these partitions into the clothes of priesthood, and the lamp, and the table, and the tent, and parochet, and the clothes, and the what are those screens, what are those desires that are organized such, and so on. And of course, if we turn it into Kabbalistic language, it becomes even more clear, it becomes simpler, because it's the crumbling of the Zohar and the Shechinah, which is called Nukva, the Malchut. And then we have to cause the souls that ascend to Malchut, have to cause these corrections, and by this we cause a coupling, a connection between them, and correct our soul. So also Rabbi Shimon and his students, it says so. Where it says, and you shall bring, indeed divinity is with him, since divinity is called you. When it writes, and you, it means to include divinity in the command and in the speech. The upper light, Zeranpin, and the bottom light, Nukva, are included together in the word, and you, since you is the name of the Nukva, and the added Vav is the Zeranpin. We are in this world, and we have to reach a state where we will feel our broken souls. Usually I give this depiction to people, and then we raise, we elevate our desire for spirituality, for the revelation of the true reality besides our world where we truly exist, and not in some concealment that seems to us to be our world. Here we have a concealment. This concealment, which is the pausa, here we're in the machsom altogether. So, if we want to discover a reality that's greater than the one we have now, where suddenly in the same world we discover more and more desires, vessels, additional lights, we have to raise the so-called man, main nukvin, to the malchut of Atzilut, which is called Shekhinah, godliness, divinity, and then to bring it to coupling with the Zeran Pin of Atzilut. Zeran Pin of Atzilut is called Kadosh Baruch Hu. And as a couple of Baruch Hu, so called, and in that, to cause the connection. And when we reach that connection, that receives Zeran Pin the light, it's called the Bet. And all of our work then, when we raise the man to the divinity and we want it to exist, our work is called the work of the Cohens, the work of Aaron. And thus we achieve our right kind of work. But before that, like I said, before that, we have work here of rising to our world up to the degree of neshama, the broken neshama. Here, we have to enter the group, where only in the group can we scrutinize those desires that bring us to connection with the Creator. Thus, the group, it's like a springboard. As from the me, that's from myself here in this world, coming to a group, together with a group, I develop a common desire to correct and raise it. I elevate it as a man. I really feel myself in the desert, without the light of life. And when I raise this desire, then what I get is a connection, a revelation with the Creator. Okay, so we have a big group of viewers participating with us on our site, on Facebook, so maybe we can take some questions. Okay, first of all, there is a lot of happiness going on here with this interactive broadcast from all different cities and countries, and they're asking if there is any kind of a device as to how to better aim ourselves through this interactive broadcast. Today we have an interactive broadcast. Yeah, so they're trying to make it live, yeah? Okay. Is there a way in which whoever's watching us can... You're asking me? I was invited here the very same way you were invited here. And those watching, I really didn't know that that's what they meant to do, because I give a lesson anyway. In the book, in the morning, I give a live lesson. In the evening, I think it was always live too. So now it's just told. Also, with Arkady Duchin, it will be live. So I came. I don't mind if it's live or not. The truth is that we need them to write more and to put more pressure on our managers. I'm together with you. Let's put more pressure on them, because really I think that our world is in no need of lies and makeup. And the wisdom of Kabbalah, we feel and know that the more we take off the lie, we advance to truth, to the good. And thus, more and more, and of course, it's suitable this our channel to be in our interaction, live broadcast, open everything, to a really open state. So I'm all for it. Okay, an additional question coming here from the portion of Tetzaveh. So if you can elaborate a bit about this, the term. Tzivui mitzvah, it's... we think that it's from the word tzivui and also from the word advice. Like the Zohar explains that the 613 mitzvot that we have to make, that we have to do because we're opposite to the Creator. Again, we're here, this world, and here we have the world of Ein Sof, and we have to undergo from this world to the world of Ein Sof and ascend through the five worlds: Asiya, Yetzirah, Bria, Tzilut, Adam Kadmon. These are five degrees of correction of the soul. How do we do it? 20% of my desires in the soul are revealed, that they're all bad, really bad. I correct them. Also, in five potzofim, it's called potzofim, the personal degrees, where each personal degree divides into five sfilot. So I have 25 degrees in the world of Asiya, afterwards in the world of Yetzirah. Let's call it Asiya, Yetzirah. Also the same, only another 40%, then 60, then 80, then 100. From the desires that all belong to the soul. And I, in these desires, the more I correct them, I've corrected them on the smallest stages. I've corrected them. In each small correction, I see more, I feel more. Beyond this world, beyond being here now, a bit deeper, a bit more understanding, the connection between things, how everything unfolds, where do I really exist? In our world, what we feel in this small sphere, I feel it only through my bodily senses. The body is alive and the body is dead. If I start sensing through these desires, I start feeling a higher sphere, and then I as if get rid of this feeling gradually, of the feeling of my body, because it gives me only a very small extent of my existence, and thus we connect more and more of our desires, we grow in amount. The difference between them . If I correct it here between the desires, and suppose I had 1 gram of evil, so here between the desires what unfolds is a ton of evil. These are vast differences, vast changes. Here the corrections, they're very meticulous and very non-simple. And thus, each and every righteous, meaning he fails more and builds himself more. And that's how we advance. And that's what it says here. What do they oblige to... What does the Zohar say? That what we correct is ourselves on the degrees, on the way, first of all, up to the state where in the middle is the world of Bria, Bina. We correct ourselves in 365 desires of do not do. And afterwards in 248 desires of do. And that's how we advance and ascend and rise. There's an opposite value here of lights and vessels. Many things we have to learn, but all in all, that's what it is. Now, as we start ascending, we start really seeing where we exist. Suddenly, a light turns on, like in a dark room, and you have no idea previously. You had no idea where you were, what you're doing, where is what, and it becomes clearer and clearer and clearer, and you start seeing a tremendous, amazing world from end to end, and you enter holiness and eternity. Exactly about that, we have a friend asking. He says that it's the very first time he turned on the channel. He says he has no idea what we're talking about, but he can't get up. He's asking, what is this? It's 24 hours. I don't know how he won't get up. Yes, most of the people who are ready and come in contact with the wisdom of Kabbalah, they're stunned. First of all, they're stunned about that it's allowed and possible to speak about these things openly, because usually we say it in half mouth, each one hides himself, he wants to know why is he alive, what for, but it seems to us as a kind of a weakness that we ask about it, talk about it, until really you have no choice. And here that we talk about it clearly, how you attain it, open the eyes, reveal reality, control our life. It's really, I remember myself, even though I was really, people explained it to me in circles, in the long way, it was nonetheless something very unique. The revelation of godliness. There's a question coming from Canada. How can I know which desires should I correct? It's all revealed along the way. We have no idea what we're talking about altogether, but there's the right order. There's a way to do things, as Baal HaSulam explains to us. These are actually the two last Kabbalists that have formed the right method for us, for our generation, for the souls that descend into our world now. And the work, our work, by the correction of the soul, we achieve the revelation of godliness, correction, the revelation of the soul. Reality opens before us. Everything happens here and now. All the words, all the upper forces, everything happens here, only we don't feel it. All in all, we have to raise our senses, meaning to open the desires that are in us, but to open them as much as possible in depth and height, to give them definitions, to feel changes in them, so there will be different partitions and divisions in them, such that each and everything existing in reality will be felt in us to its very depth, and everyone later, all these aspirations, all these impressions will connect into a single picture called the Creator, the Upper Force. From the point where we attain, as it says, that along the way we achieve all the true reality, all the five worlds, and it all connects into one. So here we come to it such that here a bit. Here in a singular form. And later on it all comes together into this integral form, which is actually the holiness and perfection we have to come to. And specifically that portion it's not simple to realize it. And after its first realization, after the way it was written, there are many additions. But when we form ourselves this way, this is already a great degree, to be on the degree of the parashat, the portion of Tetzaveh, where you're ready to accept the true, correct form, true, correct, final form, not yet so final because you can't perceive it yet, neither in the land of Israel, in the desert, neither in a state where it's the temple and so on. But it is already you start growing this state, like you're told that you have a baby. From the point it's born and so on, it starts growing to become a person, a man, meaning all in all there's a structure. It advances and becomes more and more perfect. So from Parashat Tetzaveh on, we advance by building the structure, by increasing it. Yes. About the portion here where we talk a lot about Kohens and Levies, we say that every person has to undergo these discernments, of course. The question is there a special discernment of those who are only Kohens or only Levies, or do they have any advantages? Yes, of course, there are also such, and I'll explain. In total, the will to receive the Creator created. He created a will to receive. One, that will to receive later created it by the light of Ein Sof, and then the will to receive is also an infinite one. Later, that will to receive, it divides, it's divided by the light. And as a result of feeling itself compared to the light, it becomes divided into plenty of parts and cuts and pieces, like in our body. There are plenty of systems, subsystems, the lymph, the nerve system, blood system, and more and more. And then you have systems which are more important and less important. Seemingly, in wholeness and perfection, everything's important. In wholeness, in perfection, if one small part will be missing, the entire system is imperfect. But if we're talking about the functioning by way of correction, meaning we ascend from this world to the world of infinity, and this is where we are, then there's a difference in the correction of the systems. Where first of all, we correct systems that are called the fathers and then the sons. Meaning, first we correct the Chabad, then Chagat, then Nehi. We usually write them differently, but in way of correction, that's how it is. From below up, first there was the correction of the Avot, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. These are the three lines, three tremendous systems. And then Chagat. And we are the last generation then. Nehi, it's called Ikvot HaMashiach, that we correct the final corrections here. And thus we are most egoistic here, and the forefathers, they're the purest. These are the forefathers. And here are the days of the Messiah. So what I wanted to say is that, of course, that here there are different kinds of souls. Said, I'm here, you're there, he's here, she's there, and so on. The whole Adam and Eve, so to speak, they're all here, both men, also women. These are entirely different kinds of souls. There are also souls that have to do with the Rosh Toch and Sof and the edges, Yadarim and Raglaim, right and left, and the middle line, and also the important organs in that system, which is the brain, the liver, the heart, and other systems, which are also important, lungs and splinter and more and so on. Kabbalah speaks about it very elaborately. You can take the 12th and 13th part of Tess or Etzach Chaim by the Ari. Thus we too, the way we're suddenly connected all over the world in a group, each one awakens because he has a root of the soul that has to awaken. And someone comes from here because it gets a desire for it, and someone belongs to this, and another belongs to that. And all in all, this entire system, it has to connect now. Thus, all of us were brought to a group. And this is how we connect. Meaning we also in a group or a complete system to a certain extent completing each other. And if we connect in a group, in this form, in this way in a group, we have to understand that the upper force has created us, has arranged us such in the group, and if we'll reach a connection between us, then it's the very same structure that deserves to ascend. We needn't change anything. We have to only advance. The structure of the group is not up to us. We never do it. I never criticize as to why am I in a group with people like you or not. That's what I got, and that's it. I don't know these people. Are they? Aren't they worthy? What? How? The Creator knows. It's revealed so from above according to the light that influences all the desires, and that light scrutinizes the desires that have to correct now in our time. And that's how it is. Every year, every moment, that new desires are revealed, and people achieve the revelation of the wisdom of Kabbalah, like that friend that spoke just now. Okay, yes. The portions may be hard, but Pavel from Moscow says that they're watching us live now, and it's one of the most moving programs they ever saw. Maybe it's because there was previous preparation for it. So also in the Book of Zohar, it speaks about happiness. It says so in Parashat Tetzaveh. It says, thus serve the Lord with gladness, since man's joy draws another joy, the higher one. Similarly, the lower world, Malchut, as it is crowned, so it extends from above. This is why Israel hurried to awaken a sound in the shofar, which includes fire, wind, and water, the middle line. So what happiness, what joy do we speak about here? It's the happiness that we connect between ourselves such that the light can reveal, the light that the Creator can reveal in us. The desire is 613 times greater because we feel who is the giver of the light. Besides being invited and getting some nice portion, I got this nice portion in this fancy restaurant and all, and suddenly I tell the waiter, give me the bill, and suddenly comes up a friend from childhood that we're so close, and he says, I'm the owner of the restaurant, and I saw you come in, and I saw you, and I gave you it, I served you with so much happiness, and of course there's nothing to pay here, but it's all from love, and how much I enjoy the meal, not about that's the food, but the connection revealed between us, and so on. We're told that the light that's dedicated to the whole of creation is called a thin candle, a very small spark called existence from absence. A point of the desire by the point of light, and that's it. All in all, that's the whole of creation. And we, as a result of wanting that point of darkness to turn it, to make it like the light, to turn it, to make it like the light, we increase the inspiration in the desire 613 times greater. It means the ascent, the degrees we ascend, meaning that by that I achieve the greatness of the giver, the connection between us upon the hate discovered to begin with, since we're opposite to each other. Thus, truly the reward, it's tremendous, vast. As much as you prepare your vessels, to that extent you feel it. Yes? Yes, again. Let him ask there and back. There's something very unique about this day. And I don't understand if all the rest of the things that are clear, more or less, and suppose the group, suppose you, to connect, desires, more or less I can accept that. But what's special about the media lines, about this whole connection, what turns this thing to be special that people can be excited more than them being here? We're reaching a state where the world demands to be connected, must be connected. Out of our inner desire that's unfolded, out of the demand of nature, and thus, suddenly, we start getting the brains. Maybe we'll develop something that will hear each other from afar. We developed the radio 150 years ago. That's it? Only 150 years ago. Now, afterwards, television. 100 years ago, it started even less. Movies where you can keep things in the way they are, as if imaginary, as if it moves. Nothing moves, but we see that that's how it happens. And 25 years ago, we've discovered such a kind of connection called internet. It's a result of our desire that demands more integration between us, more connection between us, and that desire, it advances. We can't stop it. It demands of all of us to be connected in a non-stop form. Suppose now, around the world, 24 hours, you know, that's what people yell. Not like 200 years ago, I'm gonna rest, I come back from my vacation, what happened here? I wasn't here for a month, I don't know what happened here or something else. No way. No more. No more. It's a book still you send, you print, someone reads. No, also the newspapers, their dissemination and all, it will all be, you know, at the speed of light, at the speed of the electronical connection. It all stems from the, as a result of our need to connect. And we've reached a state now that our nature is unfolded as one, as integral. And it obliges us to be in connection, all of us together. And it won't help us to disconnect from each other. Suddenly something happens in one place, in another place. But we, on the inside, are connected from within. Here revolution, there revolution. And it will happen more and more. In a year, if you'll see that in a year, the world is simply connected with each other, because we have to advance towards the general correction, where we will all be as one man and one heart. like in the state of infinity. Thus, accordingly, we have to develop our channel. We have to perform on the internet so it will be as live as possible, for there always to be people around the clock corresponding and everything, and people all over the world to connect and in all languages, not to feel any difference. And that's how we will have to work. And now that we started a bit finding out what the live broadcast is, in 7 minutes I see on the clock I finish, then immediately instead of me, towards the end, will come up here other people that continue the show and another show and so on. And that way, interactively. Not that it's somewhere in our archive and from there we take it out by some machine, by some pre-plan or something. And everyone looks at it as a kind of a dead state. We have to see it as something alive. It's not as if you did it from yesterday, because you changed. You sell them something that's dead. And people will feel it to an extent to which they won't be able to watch movies. They won't be able to watch movies. You'll feel that maybe you cried or something. How do you get out of it? I don't know. Suddenly you see a movie that moved you so much today doesn't influence you at all. It doesn't influence you because it was shot a few months ago. It's not alive. It has to be that very same moment that I pass on to you my feelings and the external form where we're connected together is only a means as to how to reach the inner connection from heart to heart. If we'll do it that way, we'll succeed really in reaching the hearts and the spreading the wisdom of Kabbalah. That's what the whole world is heading towards. Doesn't know it, but that's how it is, and who'll understand it and will really know how to tell the world about the real things, what is the world attracted to, and not only about the today, but also a bit about the tomorrow. Whoever will be able to give that, he is the one opening the door for tomorrow. This is what we try to do by improving our internet, and thus I'm sure that we'll have more and more such programs where we're in interaction and mutual connection with the broad public live. Yes. Is there any kind of a device? No, there's no place. If I sit here now and I look into the camera and say, we'll put up screens here, and every person who has a small camera is connected to the internet with his computer, he can appear here on the screen, then what's the problem? What place? We're all together. We see how this electronic connection, it doesn't stand in the way, it connects. Well, what is the difference between the physical place and... No, time is something else. The physical place, it doesn't stand in the way because my beast is here and your beast is there. Or 20,000 miles from here, that's the beast. But the desire, it works at the speed of light, immediately between us. We're all an integral system, all of us. And thus, if I speak to you, through these wires, nonetheless our desires are connected. Today I spoke to my mother and my grandchildren that are 1,000 miles away from me, and with the students and everyone. And when we connect, sometimes we come to a place of meeting, we don't see any difference there. We saw each other yesterday, today. It's so natural that the distance doesn't work. Yes? Exactly about this, more than there come questions, there come aspirations. They say from Nagia, great. Oh, it's very good. We feel you with us in the heart. We get a lot of internet connection. We love you all. Okay, and otherwise life will be thrown out live. That's unpolite. So let's finish with an inspiration from Tetzaveh. And before we go on to the next part of our live broadcast, when the next world, Bina, enters the Eichal of the world of Malchut, and the lower world is happy with the brothers on the upper meal coming from Bina, then Bina blesses the table and all the worlds are blessed and all the happiness and illumination is there, as it says, purified before the Creator. Yes, because it is the Creator, the Bina, the Creator. If we acquire that power, it's called the power of bestowal, the power of love, then of course we come to a blessing. So let's hope. So with this blessing, we'll finish this part of the open of our open broadcast. Parashat Tetzaveh, thank you very much, and stay with us. Our studio is open.